Last month, I spent a couple of days in New York City, and one full day was at the Metropolitan Museum of Art. As I made my way through the galleries of Eastern and Western art, some pieces thousands of years old and others made in the last century, I was struck by the myriad ways that Jesus Christ is portrayed. In one Byzantine icon, he is the paradigm of strength and inscrutability, with a firmly set jaw and a gaze that's resolutely out into the distance. And in an illuminated manuscript from the early Middle Ages, his body is being taken down from the cross by the women disciples. You know it's Jesus because of the scene, but there are no distinguishing physical features. He is every man, a slender, vulnerable, suffering servant. And in a 19th century painting, he is shown fast asleep on a boat with the disciples during this roaring tempest. In this painting, his likeness is highly detailed. He is a muscular, calm, central presence to the painting, while the panicked men around him all blend into each other. In each of these works, you could see the artist grappling with the question that Jesus poses in today's gospel. Who do you say that I am? It is a question for the ages. During his life, to his disciples, Jesus is a teacher, their rabbi. But as their travels unfold, they witness multiple healings, and Jesus' followers grow. And they start to wonder. The disciples realize that while Jesus does stand in the prophetic tradition of John the Baptist or Elijah, there is something much bigger and more singular about him. Peter must have been mulling this question over for weeks, reflecting on what he's seeing, how to make sense of it, and who this man Jesus really is. Because when Jesus asks him point blank, "What do you say about me, Peter?" he's ready. There's no hesitation. "You are the Messiah," Peter answers. In Matthew's telling of this story, Jesus replies, "Blessed are you, only God could have told you this." But in today's reading, Jesus acknowledges this truth by ordering the disciples to keep it secret. Because to call Jesus Messiah is a big deal. Messiah is the Greek translation of the word Christos, which means the anointed one, the one for whom Israel has waited for generations, the divinely appointed king who will liberate them from their Gentile oppressors and inaugurate the reign of God's justice forever. This Messiah is expected to come in a blaze of glory and a great show of power. So it's deeply unsettling to Peter when Jesus undermines this triumphal image. Jesus calls himself the Son of Man instead of Messiah, and predicts that he must undergo great suffering, be rejected by the religious leaders and killed, only to rise again 3 days later. That's not anyone's idea of the victor for whom they've waited. So Peter takes him aside to object, but Jesus shuts down the discussion. "You are wrong, Peter. You are applying your worldview to God. Stop trying to fit me into your conquering hero narrative and start asking what God is up to in all of this." Twice more in Mark's gospel, Jesus tells his followers that the Son of Man must experience suffering, rejection, and death, and will rise again. But they never really grasp what it is that he is telling them. It's only after his death and his resurrection, as the disciples struggle with all the things that have happened and they mull it over together, that they begin to trust that this Son of Man, who came not to be served but to serve, is also the Messiah. As they travel themselves and teach and heal in Jesus' name, the disciples experience persecution and suffering in their own lives. They also grow in faith and in clarity. Eventually, the disciples come to proclaim that in bearing the pain and injustice heaped upon him, Jesus shows that God is present to all human suffering and darkness. His resurrection and new life is the source and the symbol of their bedrock of faith. And it's our bedrock too. No human loss or need is beyond the transformative power of God's love. But the disciples don't know any of this yet in today's gospel. It's early for them. So Jesus gathers the entire crowd of followers and tells them, if any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for the sake of the gospel will save it. Deny yourself and take up your cross. These are two pretty sobering commands, and taken out of context, and they have been at times, they can be dangerous. This seeming requirement of self-sacrifice has been misused at times to glorify suffering for its own sake. There have been times when Christians have supposed that it is God's will for people to suffer, and that therefore they should not work for their own liberation from oppression or for that of others. Abusers of power have held up this interpretation to justify their actions and to keep others in their place. But that is out of context. The context here is the life and gospel of Jesus Christ. He sought to liberate people from bondage, not insist that their burdens be borne without complaint. He taught that the love and healing grace of God belong to everyone, and that the way we give thanks for that love is to serve each other. So then, what does it mean for us today to deny ourselves? We who are certainly part of the haves of this world. I wonder if it has something to do with resisting our natural self-preoccupation, the way we put our needs at the center, so that we try to set aside our own concerns, to see the world through God's eyes, and then set our priorities from there. And I wonder about this cross that Jesus commands us to take up. I know that many in this community already bear heavy loads that they did not choose. Grave illness, grief, psychic wounds, there's more. And I am moved by the fierce compassion that you abundantly offer to others in need, even while you carry these burdens. I have seen how God transforms our individual suffering when we broaden our definition of family to include everyone who is at risk. But it is still hard. There is much suffering in our world, and we want to help bear it. We want to follow Jesus. But we don't need to review this week's headlines to know that it can seem intractable and overwhelming. I wonder if that's why, in today's gospel, when the small group of disciples don't get what Jesus is trying to teach them, he calls the whole crowd together. He addresses them as a group. All of you, if you want to follow me, take up your cross together. Doesn't that shift things? We can carry so much more because we do not follow Jesus alone. So we offer our full selves, our time, our resources, our energy, together as a community in the service of others, striving to see the world through God's eyes and trusting that God is with us. That is how we say who Jesus is. Amen.